Well, good morning. It's a good day today. Lots of great stuff happening. We have the teenagers come and lead us in our Advent reading. Later on in the service, the children are going to lead us in just a phenomenal shadow play right behind us. And looking forward to that. And we're going to lead up into what they're doing. But before then, I'm going to talk a little bit. But also, I just want to pause for a moment. Is Misty somewhere around here in the service? Oh, she's out serving. If you happen to see Misty, just congratulate her. She graduated yesterday. That is a huge accomplishment. And the family in the room right now, you guys can be sure. There you go. I was waiting for someone to start that off. Be sure to let her know that we're encouraging her. And if you'd join me in just a moment, let's pray for her, even though she doesn't know it, to just encourage her, that God blesses the time and the energy she spent doing that, because that's a lot of work. It really is. Let's pray for her. Father, we pray for Misty, who is even now serving, and not in this room. But Lord, you're here. And we pray that she uses that degree and all of her efforts and all of the time and knowledge that she spent to glorify you, to make an impact in the world, to help change the world. Father, we pray that you bless her time in studies. We pray that you bless this awesome achievement. And we pray that, Lord, she does take good and godly pride in the accomplishment she's made. We thank you for her. And as a church family, we lift her up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are continuing going through Luke, and we're looking at all of everything that led up to that Christmas morning, because I figured it was good. Christmas is on a Sunday this year, so we'll spend Sunday looking at the birth of the Messiah. But before we continue on with that, I want to ask you a simple question. What's your legacy going to be? Have you ever considered that? Some of you have, some of you haven't. I think all of us have in the back of our mind a little bit. It's an important question to ask. What's your legacy going to be? Where are you going to find purpose towards the end of your life? How will you impact the world? What do you want to leave behind? What kind of name do you want to make for yourself today while you're on earth? People do that differently. Some people do that through trying to get fame and money and they do it through fame with movies or an actor, writing books, politics. Some people try and leave a legacy that way. Others try to leave it through business or the relationships they have. They want to have the esteem of their colleagues. They want to leave a legacy on the earth. You think of Steve Jobs, who passed away recently, and his legacy that he's left of, all these iProducts. It's phenomenal how much impact one person could have. And he's got his respect of his colleagues, his enemies. They wish that they were him and thought of what he thought of. And he left a legacy that way. And some of us want to leave legacies in the business world. Our colleagues respect us, care for us. Our enemies at least want to be us. Some people will leave a legacy that way. Others of us want to leave our legacy through relationships. You want to get, have 50 years of marriage. You want to hit that 50-year anniversary. I don't know what happens after that, but I've heard that before. I want to be married for 50 years. I'm like, what happens at 51? see you later. but other relationships. Some people want to have huge families, and they want to have a lot of kids and grandkids, and through those relationships, they want their kids to be successful doctors, lawyers, physicists. But they want them to have those high achievements, and they want to leave a legacy through their relationships and their kids. So what's your legacy going to be? It's an important question to ask. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Luke chapter 1, 57. Now, if you remember, a few weeks ago, we last saw Elizabeth and Zechariah. They're in their old age. I don't know how old that is, but I don't consider 50 old. I don't consider 60 old. I really don't consider 70 old. So they've got to be like 80 plus. And if I've just offended you, Sorry. But they're old, you know, and the Bible is pretty epic. So when it says old, they're old. You know, 80 years old, no children, they're barren, and God blesses them with a miracle child. The two of them are able to have this miracle baby who is going to be the forerunner of the coming and promised Messiah, the Savior of the Lord. In their old age, they have this. Zechariah didn't believe, so the Lord made him deaf and mute. He couldn't talk, he couldn't hear. He was just unable to do that until the birth of the child, it was said. And so that's where we pick up the story. If you read with me, starting in verse 57, this is what happened next. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. Then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her his great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. Now, again, this is a miracle child. I don't know many, you know, 80-plus-year-old people having kids these days. It's an absolute and utter miracle. And her friends and her family members and her neighbors are rejoicing. They're rejoicing for two reasons. One is barrenness. If a couple couldn't have kids, it was seen as some sort of curse from God. That obviously you or something that your parents did or something that their grandparents did displeased God, and so he's punishing you, and you're not allowed to have children. And so the neighbors are rejoicing because in their minds they're saying, wow, the curse is lifted. They're able to have kids. You know, so they're rejoicing for that reason, even though that wasn't really an accurate understanding of barrenness. But they're rejoicing because they're saying, wow, whatever curse you guys had on you or whatever sin, it's been atoned for. You know, great, you know. They're rejoicing for that, but they're rejoicing for a second reason. Because Zechariah and his wife didn't have kids, and in that culture, your firstborn son would carry on the family name, the family lineage. It was your legacy. And now finally their legacy has been born. Finally, their family name wasn't going to die out. Finally, they right on the cusp of having their name continue on long after their deaths. And hopefully somewhere, someone will remember great-great-great-great-grandpa Zechariah and all of his relatives before him. So they're rejoicing for those two reasons. In our lives, I mean, this is like you're right on the cusp, and you want that legacy. You're about to get that legacy. You have a book deal that you're about to sign. Your kids are about to become lawyers. You've donated a whole bunch of money to a hospital or to a charity, and they're going to name something really great after you. You know, the Nathan Norman Wing of the Hospital. That's, you know, that would be cool. Also funny because I don't think I'll ever be able to afford a wing of a hospital, but. That you're just there. They're almost there. Their legacy's just about to live on. So encouraging, so exciting. Such a miracle. And so their family members rejoice. Let's continue on. Verse 59. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they're going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, "No, he will be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives have that name." Because here's the deal. In this culture, you know, we have last names, but they would do this, you know, thing, you know, Zechariah, son of whoever he was a son of, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, and that's how your family name continued down. And you would name someone, typically after the grandfather of the family. You'd name this firstborn son after the grandfather of the family, and they'd carry on the family name. Well, Zechariah is really old, so he's practically a grandpa right now anyways. And here's the deal. He can't speak. He can't hear. If you came across an elderly person that used to be able to speak in here and they couldn't speak in here, what do you think happened to them? You probably think they had a stroke, right? I mean, it seems normal. I think the family members, the relatives, you know, they're looking at this old man. He can't speak, he can't hear. And they're probably thinking, wow, he doesn't have long for this world. He's about to die. Now, that's what I'd be thinking, you know. That's what they were thinking. They didn't think that Zechariah's muteness and his deafness was from disobedience to God. They just thought, you know, he's on his way out. He's practically a grandpa. Let's name the kid after him. And the family name will continue on. That's fine. We'll just skip over grandpa. Great. What does Elizabeth say? She says, no, we're going to name him John. Why John? Well, that's the name the angel told Zechariah to have way back in the beginning of the first chapter. He told him, we're going to name him John. And John's a great name. John says, greatly favored by God. That's what the name means. And it was a perfect name for this child because for John, for Zechariah and Elizabeth, this old elderly couple, God had shown them great favor by having this child. And for Israel, this new baby boy was going to be the forerunner to the promised Messiah, the Messiah who would come and take away the sins of the world, the Messiah who would come and make things right. The Messiah who's going to come and reconcile man to God. And he was the forerunner, and his name means God has shown favor. God has shown favor to Israel. God has shown favor to the world. Perfect name. There's a problem with that. The problem was if they named him John, their legacy dies right there. Their family name and heritage, which went all the way back to the time before Moses, to the time of Levi, the first original 12 tribes, was going to die. And if he named him that, that's it. And the family members are saying, I mean, you can understand then. They go, none of your relatives have that name. Why would you do that? Your family name's going to die. Don't do that. I get that you're old, and obviously you can't make any decisions on your own because you're so old. Those of you who are old, I've heard people say that to, you know, the elderly. And she says, no, we're going to name him John. In your life, I mean, this would be like if you decide I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to do what the Lord's called me to do. But you have to sacrifice your dream to have a huge family because of that, because you can't have a lot of kids on the mission field where you're going. That's what it would be like. Or in your life, it would be like if you said, you know what, I feel God's calling me to work in children's ministry. But if I work in children's ministry, I won't have time to write and publish that book I've always been wanting to write and leave behind me. And you get people in your life, right? They come in, they say things like, you know, children's ministry, it's just children's ministry. It doesn't matter, right? It's children's ministry. It's a bunch of little kids. Who cares? And I can say that because, you know, they're all in there. Right? But you get people who come in and they say stuff like that. And you go, oh, wow. Maybe I should focus on my legacy. Maybe that's what I need to do. So it continues on. 62. So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they were all amazed. You got to picture this too, because they have to motion to him so that he can figure out what's going on. I mean, I almost picture it, you know, the eighth day, they're circumcising the baby. Sure, that's not the most pleasant experience in the world. They're doing this. Elizabeth's arguing with her relatives and her neighbors and saying, no, we're calling him John. And they're like, oh, come on, Zechariah, you know, you'll be dead soon anyways, we'll change his name. You know, and they're arguing with him, and they fight. She probably says, oh, ask Zechariah, ask the kid's father, right? And he's over off in the corner, he can't hear, can't speak, doesn't really know what's going on. He can see people are getting all angry, and they start motioning to him, and they're like, hey, you know, this baby here, what do we call him? You know, and he asks, he's like, oh, I need something to write. Actually, he wouldn't go like this, because they're Jewish, and they write backwards, so, well, forward for them, backwards to us. So he'd be like this, right? You know, give me something like this. And they bring this, it's like a, probably what he had was like a piece of wood, and they cover it with wax, and they harden the wax, and then they give him the sharp instrument, and you can kind of carve into it what you want to write. And so I love, you know, Zechariah here, right? What did he have to write? I mean, all he had to write was one word, right? John. That's all he had to do. But his family members and relatives are sitting there, and they're waiting for him. This old dottery man who, and he's carving this thing. Can you imagine just waiting on that? H, it's an H. Maybe Hezekiah. You know, yes. You know, his. You know, he writes the whole thing out. And they're like, oh, come on, I'm doing it wrong again. It's this way. And they're just, oh, come on, what's going on? And then they're like, you know, they see it. You know, they pull it out of his hand and. His name is John. Oh, gosh, they're both crazy. They've both lost it. Your legacy is going to die. And don't think about just your legacy. Think about your family's legacy. Think about your grandfather. Think about your great-grandfather. Throughout all of history since Levi. This is like back in Genesis, okay? We're like, you know, mostly through the Bible at this point. Back to Levi. Your family name has existed. It's been honored. It's been proud. You're a proud priest. You're from a priestly family. And you're going to let your legacy die? You guys experience this in your life too, don't you? You decide to make a decision that you know that you know that you know that God's going to want you to do. Maybe you have some money that you want to donate, and you can donate a lot of it and get your name on a brick in some building somewhere. But maybe the Lord's leading you to donate some of that all over the place. No one's going to give you a brick. Maybe they'll give you a card. Hopefully a tax receipt. Your family members just go, no, don't do that. Think about your legacy. Think about your grandkids, too. We want to be able to walk around and go to that hospital or that church and say, hey, here's Grandpa Norman. Put his name right up here. You might decide to make decisions to be the missionary, to serve in a church. You might make a decision to give money that would make it hard for you to maintain your standard of living because you believe in something. Family members and friends, they say, no, don't do that. That'll affect you. That'll affect your name. That'll affect your family. Don't do it. Think about your legacy. Think about who you are. That's what was going on here. They say, no, don't. You can't. You just lost everything. Your family name's dead. But then look what happens. Verse 64. Immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all those who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard about him took it to heart, saying, what then will this child become? For indeed the Lord's hand was with them. I mean, think about what just happened here. Have you ever, most of you have probably been around someone who suffered a stroke and they have palsy or they can't speak fully or they can't hear. Something's wrong, right? And they're all thinking this guy's got, has a stroke. He's on his way out. And all of a sudden he's obedient to God. He says, we're going to name this child what God called me to name him. His name is John. And his mouth opens up. His muteness comes off. He's able to praise God. And everyone's like, whoa, wait. He just stands up and starts speaking. And they're like, we thought you were a goner. And he's speaking like a young man again. Because you know what Zechariah did? Zechariah said, no. You're right. This child is my legacy. This child could be my legacy. But I'm not going to make this child my legacy. This child isn't mine. This child isn't Elizabeth's. This child belongs to God. And I want him to fulfill God's legacy. He is going to be the fulfillment of God's legacy. He is going to be the one who fulfills God. I'm going to use the best, most precious gift I have, and I don't care about my legacy. I want this kid to contribute to God's legacy. And even though my family name will die out and no one will remember me, hey, surprise, he's in the Bible. But even though no one will remember my family name, God's legacy will be fulfilled through this child. I'm giving all my hopes and dreams in him. I don't care about my family line. I don't care about what's happened before. This child is going to be part of God's plan, not mine. And then it's interesting. Zechariah, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, starts to prophesy. And you'd think he'd prophesy about what his kid would do, right? I mean, he's saying this kid's going to be God's legacy, right? He doesn't. He talks about the coming Messiah. He talks about the one who's going to come. He talks about the one who's going to save them. And he says this, verse 67, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the clutches of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. He has given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from our enemies' clutches, to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all of our days. And I just picture Zechariah in his old age cradling his son in his arms, speaking this out to the crowd, and he's saying, remember, God has been faithful. God remembers his promises. God is bringing the promised Messiah who will forgive us of our sins and cleanses of all unrighteousness. And as he's prophesying, I just picture he's holding this baby, and then he looks at him and looks in his eyes, and he says, "In child," verse 76, he says, "In child, you will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Then he looks back up at the crowd, verse 78, and he says, "Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." Amen. The Messiah is coming. He says, look, this child of mine is not going to fulfill my legacy. He's going to fulfill the legacy of God. And so we turn to ourselves and we look at our lives. What's your legacy going to be? What legacy do you want to leave on the earth? Zechariah had an option. He had a possibility. He could have named his child after himself, and his legacy would have continued on. But eventually, somewhere down the road, the family name might have passed on, and all these thousands of years later, who would really care that an old and ancient man passed his name on? What's your legacy going to be? You all have hopes and dreams and visions. No one wants to say, hey, I was on earth and no one ever knew I was here. People want to leave something behind. It's good. You should leave something behind. What's your legacy going to be? My encouragement here today is you should see and have God's legacy. You should try and be a part of God's legacy instead of your own, because God's legacy will last forever. Yours won't. As you ask that question, what's my legacy here on earth? Everything should be filtered through what is the legacy that I can be a part of in God's plan, not my own legacy, not to bring glory to my own name. How can I bring glory and honor to God's name? Not how can I bring glory and honor to my own name? Because eventually it'll fade. Your legacy will eventually fade. God's legacy lasts forever. What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want your legacy to be? We're going to transition here, and as we're looking forward to the Messiah coming, John the Baptist has been born. He's going to go and prepare the way in the future. But in a very short time, Jesus the Messiah shall be born. And we're going to celebrate that next week. And we're going to celebrate that in a moment as the children present their shadow drama with us. So, Barbara, if you'd come up and lead us. I'm going to lead us in prayer, though. And truly think and consider, what's your legacy going to be? Father God, I pray for all of us. I pray for me. Lord, none of us wants to leave this world with no one remembering our name. No one wants to leave this world having not made a difference. And Lord, there are so many of us with good intentions who want to leave a legacy, but it involves our name. It involves our glory. And though it might make a difference, a small difference in the world for a short amount of time, Lord, it will fade away. But Lord, if we are a part of giving your name glory, if we are a part of your program and your design, if we are a part of the legacy you're leaving here on earth, you will bless that, you will bring workers, and that legacy will last forever. Help us as we prepare our lives and ask the question, what's the legacy we want to live? To always ask the question, how can I bring glory to the name Lord Jesus Christ and love the people here on earth and serve them with the love that Jesus shows? Help us to consider what our legacy will be and to be a part of your plan. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you've kissed your little baby, that you've kissed the face of God? Blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great
In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in a city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger."
Thank you.
You guys can stay there for 2 seconds. I am just so proud of the children and the children's ministry, and they just did a phenomenal job. I'm like tearing up watching this thing going on up here in front. So give them a good another round of applause. Good job, guys. So before we go, remember next week we have two identical services. Christmas Eve will be at 6 o'clock right here. Christmas Day.